Sanctuary.
Tried and true.
Woo!
With thanksgiving, I'll be your living. Hallelujah. Sanctuary.
Sing it unto him now.
Think about it.
Lord, prepare me
to be your
sanctuary,
pure and holy. Is that your desire? Tried and
true.
With thanks.
I'll be your living.
Thank
you, every
before you. Amen and amen. Just make me a sanctuary for the Lord. Is that your desire? Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you like turning your scriptures, turn to Leviticus 23, where we've been reading, and we will turn then to Matthew 12. Leviticus 23, Matthew 12. Remember now that Brother Forney will be here with us on Wednesday the 14th, the Lord willing, preaching for us. And also remember the fellowship meeting will be the third Saturday. If you want to go with us or anything, let us know about it. It'll be at Brother Longora's in Alabama. And remember, Wade and June will be gone this coming weekend. Wade will be gone this coming weekend. And just remember that. Remember Brother Jess there, because he's having a lot of problems. And just keep him in your prayers, okay? Leviticus 23. Let's see, we'll do this before we sit down. Brother Joe gave me this. He's going to post it on the back downstairs. And it's kind of the website status. And just to show you, this is... In the year 2008, there was over 670 gigs of sermons and files downloaded. 670 gigs. That's a lot of gigs. That's a lot of download stuff, all right? The old computers we used to have with the 286s and all like that, it wasn't even a gig. It wasn't even close to starting, you know. But then there's been over 200,000 visits to the website in 2008. There's been, now listen to this one real careful, these two, because there have been 1,180 CD packages mailed out since 2005. There was about 220 mailed out this year. There has been 13,000 CDs copied and all since 2004 when we started. Amen. So that's a great thing. I appreciate, Amen. You know, the Lord and what He's allowed us to do around the country to open up and let people, you know, do things. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love and your grace unto us. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for everything, Father. And we know that truly thou art our Father, and that by being your children, then we have a right to the bread. So we ask for our daily bread, Lord. We come one more time asking you to speak to our hearts that we may receive from you. Forgive our sins and bless and guide. You said in your word, you sent your word and healed them and delivered from destruction. So we ask you, as we speak about you, that you come on the scene and heal your people and deliver them, Father. Have your way. We love you and we thank you. Guide each and every one of us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Leviticus 23, we've been reading that. We will be for a while. Then we'll go to Matthew 12. Leviticus 23. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them concerning the feast of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feast. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest and holy convocation. Ye shall do no work therein, it is the Sabbath of the Lord in your dwellings. These are the feast of the Lord, even holy convocations, which ye shall proclaim in their seasons, in the 14th day of the first month of, at evening is the Lord's Passover. And on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread unto the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. In the first day you shall have an holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein, but you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord 7 days. In the seventh day is an holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein. Okay? And we'll go to Matthew 12:38. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, to try to pick up and from part of where we left off, because I want you to see this part. Now, this is the main thing that I'm wanting you to see and us to understand and everything, because it helps you to understand the Bible to me now. And it's the simple point that we look at and was looking at the end of the service this morning, that in the Old Testament Jewish time, and even until today, under the Jewish time of what they do, they don't count a day as a morning and an evening like we do. We count it morning, evening, 12 o'clock, 12, I get messed up myself even that a lot of times, trying to figure out what time it is, and it's 12:01 a.m., you know, because that's what we count, you know. And then we get back around, but you end the day by saying 12 p.m. And that gets me confused, because if you make it 12 p.m. and 12 a.m., I get messed up on what time of the day that is. I know it's kidneys, but that's a problem. But, you know, they counted their day in the Bible times. And the Jews, as I say, they still count it. Your Seventh-day Adventists, they count it that way in the keeping of the Sabbath. And it's, you know, it starts at the evening. It's actually technically saying when the sun goes down, or, you know. But it's started basically in using in it from about 6 in the afternoon until 6. You know, the following afternoon is counted a day. All right. In doing that, then I believe it's vital to understand that, and then that fits together the scriptures. And now remember, too, Brother David and I were talking about this. Remember, I mentioned it this morning, that under the Jewish calendar, they don't go according to our calendar. See, our first month is January. Their first month is April. And we have 365 and a fourth days to a year. And that throws you 30, 31, 29, all different things. They have, it runs basically 360, because they have, like, they'll have 29 and 1, and it's 29 and a fourth is how they count it. I can't really get it together how they do it totally. But then that way, see, April the 14th on their calendar falls on April the 14th. But it wouldn't fall on our calendar. Do you understand what I'm saying? See, because you've got a time-wise of three and a half days or something different between the years. They're in the year 5,000 and something, see? And somewhere like that, or 50-something. But, see, it's a difference. So don't get confused in our days. That was what I was saying this morning when you come to seeing that Jesus rose early the first day of the week. See, if you don't get that correctly, you're going to miss what's going on, you know, and the doing of the days. And I think it's very important to understand enough to keep speaking on it. But keep in mind now the difference in their calendar, the difference in our calendar. April the 14th under our calendar is not April the 14th under their calendar. See? You know, it's totally different. So, you know, you have to think a little bit. And then when you say April the 14th, we think April the 14th. See, we think, well, that's the month that we're going to come up to in about 4 or 5 months down the road, you know, called April the 14th. Well, that's not according to theirs. See, it's different. Okay? So if time creeps up and they move and they've done just, I was looking at one calendar part of it, they've done just the way we done for the three calendars we've had, the Gregorian, Julian and all, and sometimes they put 13 months into 1 year, and 1 year they had 200 something days into a year to make the calendars fall in with a lineup of the sun and moon and the things like that, getting everything lined up, you know. So you've got to think of what's being said and under what it's being said. Like Brother David said, they said to Brother Branham, Brother Dr. Lamza said, what you're trying to do is understand a Jewish Eastern Bible and things under Western customs and ideas. And it won't work. You've got to go to their understanding. And then it will match up. And then see, it doesn't matter then what it falls to us. It falls in the correct order. See, we'd say, well, now see, there Jesus raised on our Sunday. Well, now he might not have raised on our Sunday. Do you understand? I mean, everybody understand what I'm saying? He raised on their Sunday. See, their day. See? But the way it fell so perfectly. But see, then we say he rose early the first day of the week. See, now we know that's Sunday. That's our time of the first day of the week. We know that. But you've got to take the two and put them together, and then don't let them fight each other. You know, as I was showing the other day, and I'll maybe in a minute again, of even how the writers fight each other sometimes, seemingly. And it's all on account of trying to put everything back down into language you and I can understand. See? And to be able to follow it. All right. But now let's move on and talk about this. We're on the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. And now, that Feast of Unleavened Bread was to them a time that they had the 7 days. The first day was a holy convocation, a gathering. And then they didn't necessarily have to gather there for a few days, but then when it fell, come back to the seventh, they would gather again and all, but they kept the unleavened bread all through that time, because that was, as the prophet said, it would be a type of the church ages. And you'll find back there, if you'll read Exodus, you'll find him saying that when you come to the land, in other words, in your families, and you start doing these things, tell them what this means. The Passover meant the coming out. You were leaving Egypt, going out, and God passed over death onto you, and you came out of the land. Then the unleavened bread is actually a type of journey. In other words, if you were today telling them, and you'd be explaining, you'd explain this, and then when you come to the unleavened bread, now, you know, remember how I told you, the head of the house, the father would explain to the family, I would love to go. If anybody would ever set me up an appointment, I'd love to go and sit down and just let them tell me these things and let me record it of what they do on these certain days. You know, like I said this morning, you know, they do funny things when it comes around to the unleavened, and they hide 11 around and 10 spaces or places, and they hunt that up, and then they make that statement that, Lord, we've done the best we can do to get the leaven out of the house, putting it in our language. Now, if there's any leaven left in the house, it don't belong to us. See? I mean, they do that, see, because it's the way they do it every year. And it's expressing it. You say, well, that's just a custom or an idea. But it would be wonderful to sit down and watch it. You know, it wouldn't be any trouble to me to go to observe it. Because I know what I'm talking about. You say, would you do that? Yeah, I would. You want me to give you scripture for it? Would you like it? Would you go and sit down and watch them and do something and think you're in the scripture? What about Paul when he was over there and he made a pledge and he shaved his head? Yeah. He went through everything that they was going through except one thing. He wasn't going to offer that sacrifice. He was going to explain to them about that sacrifice, and they never gave him the opportunity to get that far. See, they put it to an end. But he went through everything to get ready. And I would be glad to. All right. But now, see, we've been talking about it. Like I said, now that unleavened bread, they were going to be 7 days, a type of the seven church ages, which would be the seven church ages. There would be no leaven in the Word of God. Now, that didn't say they wouldn't leaven in the people. And Luther and them would say, Lord, you know, now, take these things and bring them to us. See, Luther would say, now, Lord, you've revealed to me the just shall live of faith. I know that's... And now, Lord, if there's any leaven in me, you know, is anything wrong in me, Lord, let it be counted that that don't belong to me. You know, like they would be saying it back there in their customs, see? And you know, and he would be right because he didn't know. And not knowing what the wrong was, it wasn't accounted unto him. And see, you not knowing in the Old Testament there, if you not knowing where the leaven was, I read one about this lady, and she said she searched her house and searched her house. Now, it's in modern times, you know. And searched her house and everything, and they went through all of the rituals. And about 2 months after that they had instituted and done these things, she happened to move something in the refrigerator, and there was a baking powder or something, you know, yeast stuff. Well, see, she, you know, but she had to depend on the fact of saying, Lord, I didn't know that was there. You know, I didn't know that was there, Lord, so forgive me, you know, and it would be fine. But see, the unleavened bread was a journey. You're going on a journey. That's what the church ages is. The church ages is a journey down through time with people to be that they're not to have any leaven. Get rid of all the leaven. Get rid of all of the ideas of mankind. Thoughts and things like that. Get rid of them. You know, because we're in a journey. We're traveling. God doesn't stop these things. The children of Israel, see, that's where they got into trouble. How many days was it from, was it 14 days that they would have went from Egypt to Kadesh Barnea and going across or something like that? I forgot how many exact days. See, it was a very short time. But they were 40 years in the wilderness because of putting leaven in, putting in their ideas. See, they messed it up. All right. Well, see, then the unleavened bread, they'd say, what does this unleavened bread mean? You had the unleavened bread with the Passover. Now why 7 days? To show you that you was a prisoner in Egypt. Now this is the commentators writing about it. And I'm just putting it into my language because it fits to what I see. You were in bondage, but you came out. And you made the journey through the church ages. And in that journey, God was going to be with them. And there was not to be any of man's ideas during that time. That's where the trouble come. The Lutheran was okay until they denominated. The Methodist was okay. The Baptist, the Presbyterian, the Pentecostal. It was all the Word of God for the time and the move of God. But when they denominated, they denominated because they added things to the Word of God. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. And even in the journey from Egypt to Kadesh Barnea, there was in a form of sanctification. See, setting aside, because Canaan is a type of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All right? So then justification is leaving Egypt, see, under the Passover. Sanctification is the wilderness journey going from there, which should have only been just a few days. And then they would have went into Canaan land, which is a type of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So then unleavened bread comes under sanctification. That's why Paul said, purge out. Sanctify. Well, I got sanctified before I got the Holy Ghost. I don't need to be sanctified. You're very carnal with your interpretation. You sure didn't just add leaven there. You added stupidity. Mind me saying it that way? Because we know we need to be sanctified every day. That's why those disciples taught a daily sanctification, a cleansing and setting aside, a washing by the water of the Word to bring it. So that's what the unleavened, see, if they said, what does this unleavened mean? It means we journeyed. But God was with us throughout the journey. That even to the part that where we was doing wrong, He was still with us traveling in the journey. Because that was what they needed. To understand what these things mean. Then in the next one, we get on over to the next one, we'll take up like the first fruit. So read on that and study on it. It's the rising of the sun is a good message. There's some more, but that's a good message on the, and the Feast of the Trumpets will help you, but that'll be way down the road. But, read that. All right. Now, see, under the Feast of the chief way, as I said, they would do these things, but basically when you get these first two is in the journey. One's coming out. Who's in the journey? Feast of chief way is in the promised land. Which was the first fruits of the land of Canaan. Alright? So now we're coming, see, keeping the point. Justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. Coming out of Egypt, wilderness journey, or traveling through the sin it's called. The wilderness. Right? And then go into the promised land. When you go into the promised land, chief wave. See? All of those things ties together under these days. And it's showing you what was in the church ages. See? What was that? The revealed word. The journey. Down through seven church ages. Okay? Now, stay with me on that part. Let's back up and talk a little. A little bit about this, the numbers that we were on of like the crucifixion and things, because I want you to understand this. We know, we read, that the Passover was to be on the 14th. And it was the evening of the 14th is when it started. Now, then, the 15th started the 7 days, feast days. All right? Now, but if you didn't have that scripture and a spiritual understanding of how that the unleavened bread was on the day of the Passover, you couldn't fit together Exodus with Leviticus and come out to see that there was actually 8 days there. Of a celebration of a journey. Celebrating the coming out. See? I mean, I can stand here and preach all afternoon if you want it. We could go back to the children of Israel. How that wheel in the middle of the wheel and all that. That was the travel of Israel. This is what we're talking about. See? Throughout their journey, they were reminded of what these things were being said before they actually, two of them there was done literally before they even started much of a journey. They just begin to participate in it. Then the Feast of the Sheaf Way would wait until you get in the Promised Land. Right. Then the Feast of the Trumpets is way on over, like the 7th month or something like that, October or something. See? All right, but get the point now. If we can see that it was the 14th at evening, it's when they started to do the Passover. During that night of that Passover, they were run out once they ate the lamb and the things, and the death angel began to strike. during that day, the 14th, they told them to get out. All right? Now, you better think with me a whole lot, because you might get messed up in your thinking. See, because when they started the doings there, it doesn't tell you where the Sabbath fell. I'm talking the literal. It just started on the 14th. Didn't say what day of the week it was. Because you had to keep your unleavened bread. And in doing that, when that Sabbath failed, you couldn't journey. So they may have went out just a little piece. There's no way to keep up with the days there to know exactly what it started on. So they may have journeyed a little bit, and then they said, hold it. Sabbath. Because you couldn't move on the Sabbath. You could move around some on these days of the doing. So if you see what I'm talking about, during that night they were told to get out of there and move out. Huh? Because they were headed to the land and they could move a certain amount. But you be careful, you can't travel so far. And see, even though they started in the journey, they have to abide by the Sabbath laws. So you don't know which way it started. See, you don't know what day of the week literally that started. You know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You just know on the 14th, and when they started that, they was to do this, and the Passover, the 15th, they was to do this, and they left out on the 15th, you know, going out in that journey. All right? Now, in doing that, see, then it would bring you to the understanding. But when it come up to the time of Jesus, and that's all we want to deal with, because you get into the other, you try to figure this day, figure that day, this day goes in, and you just run haywire. All right? Because I've read enough to know the commentators said that they misunderstood in the Bible writing, and they had Jesus and them on the wrong day. That's what the commentators say. I differ with them. And I'm a peon. Because they don't understand. They were trying to figure out all these days. They were not taking literally what was taking place and taking those days. All right? And see, that way they wouldn't understand. All right? But did you understand what I'm saying this morning now? When that Sabbath falls in those 7 days or any feast days, you hold it. You stop. You have then what's called a high Sabbath or a high day. That's John 19, verse 31. All right? Then when you do, no matter where it falls, you've got to honor the Sabbath. Okay. But bring it on over now to where Jesus was. And get what the prophet says, that Jesus was crucified on Friday, stayed in the tomb, I gave you the quotes of it, stayed in the tomb on the Sabbath, and raised early the first day of the week. I gave you the quotes, it's in there. If I have time, I'll read them. If it don't, you read them, and them on the internet has got it. They can read it. All right. Now, the feast days begin, and you have to keep them in correct order. All right. And then you can come out with the right number. All right. Now, here's the point. See? When you come up to where Jesus was at, it fell so beautiful in a rotation. I don't know what other word to call it, but everything came together. I don't think that was an accident. Like I said this morning, I don't think it was an accident when the Bible said when the day of Pentecost was fully come. I don't think that was an accident. I think that means that it was a very special time. And when the Holy Ghost fell, I don't know what day of the week it fell on. You'd have to calculate it, and you'd have to calculate it with the 100. Maybe we'll pick that up when we get into the 50 days that figures into the sheafways and the things. I don't know. Maybe we'll pick that up. But now watch. Jesus then, it would have been the 14th day of April under their calendar. But that would have been the 14th day of April, which would have been the day of the Passover, would have been Friday. On the day of the week. Okay. Now, what's the point now? See? The 15th would have been the Sabbath. See? And all of the things would have been honored. And then you'd be right in your Bible when you start reading to see this happen, this happened. I just went in there in Matthew a while ago and watched it. And how did they come up to the time that they was to take the Passover. But you remember the difference to show you how much man can be confused? You remember the difference that I showed you in one of them? Let's see if I can find it in a hurry. It's Matthew 26. You remember that we had to take Matthew and Luke to be able to understand? Because we didn't put the two together, we would have the wrong concept. 26. Yeah, verse 17. Now take the literal reading of the scripture and look what you'd have. Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread. That's the 15th. If you take it literal, that's the 15th. The disciples came to Jesus saying unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? Passover's the 14th. But see, that's not what it's saying. Look in Luke. Luke 22. You'll have the correct understanding then. Remember the other day when we done that? Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. Now remember over there, he said the feast of the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, which would have been the 15th. But see, here it says, now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. Go down to verse 7. Then came the day of unleavened bread when the Passover must be killed. So now the author, the writer is calling not, John is not saying, or Matthew's not saying, the first day of the 7 days of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. He's saying the first day of unleavened bread, which would be the 14th. You following? Because if you don't, see, you got a contradiction in your Bible. You think, what do we need to know this for? Do you want to go back? Why don't you just turn around and start baptizing Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? Well, now, Brother Dale, you ought not be that sarcastic. I'm not sarcastic, I'm just telling the truth. If one thing don't mean nothing, the others don't mean nothing. To me, it opens up the scriptures. Yeah. It opens up the scriptures. See, just like the lamb had to be crucified in the evening before they could eat the Passover to start the 14th day. The lamb was killed in the evening time. Come on, I gave you the quotes there. This is where you'd have them. It's in the evening time that it shall be light. Not when the sun goes down. It's in the evening time. Jesus was hanging on the cross in the evening time. That's why it says evening in the morning. It don't say sundown to sunup or sundown to sundown. The Bible is exactly right. See, the evening of the Passover, the lamb was crucified in the evening or killed in the evening. It was technically then killed as part of the other day, unless you started your day at 6 o'clock like it says. And let that be evening. And then let him come on over to where he can be killed in the evening. I'm trying to get you to see how perfect the Bible is. Then it'll fit together why the prophet said certain things. You never thought about that it's in the evening time? But you know that Jesus Christ was actually hung on the cross at 9 o'clock in the morning. And died at 3 o'clock. So somewhere between 3 and 6 would be counted evening time. That's just like you've never noticed in Hosea. I've yet to hear this spoke of by very few preachers in this message. Hosea says, after 2 days. After 2,000 years. But Brother Dale, we only got 2,000, and we done went 2,000 from Jesus to now, you know. Says, after 2 days. Brother Branham actually gives you how much time it is between. I think it's in one of the quotes. There's like 2,700 years between 600 and something B.C. up to 1964. But see, it's after 2 days. It's in the third day that he's to raise. In the third day he's to raise. Not in the second day. You see, folks, that's why I tried my best to get people to see years ago that we could pass the year 2000 and not mess it up. But yet they don't want to know it then, don't want to know it now. But it sure was valuable to me because I'm not concerned about being around here. I don't have to patch up things to make it work. But now listen. In the rotation that it fell with Jesus was just perfect. Because they done the Passover and the day beginning, the 14th day of April, begin, it say, we'll take the time of what they say, 6 to 6 is a day. But it's 6 in the evening, till 6 in the evening is a day. Because the Bible says in Genesis, the evening and the morning was the first day. And it says that about, well, it says it for every day, I think, except one. I think one is left off there, but I think it says, might even say it for every one of them. Of the creation, what took place. The evening and the morning is the first day. So Jesus was in the garden. After he took the Passover, after they ate the Passover, after the communion, go to Matthew and follow it to 26th chapter and just read it. After it was, they went to the garden. Right? Then in the garden is where they come to pick him up and arrested him. So they arrested him on Friday, the 14th, which would have been Friday now, counting the evening of Friday. You got to get the evening and the morning correct in your thinking. Not morning and evening. All right. See, then it'll fit all the way through. Okay? All right. Then the rest day, the Sabbath, would have been the 15th. So they had to get everything done. Those Pharisees knew they had to get everything done from the time they captured him in the after the night time. In other words, they had to get everything done. So if you'll read in there, they started trying to do some things, put them all together. They started to try, and they'd say, you can't do this because we don't have the full Sanhedrin's not here. And real early in the morning, they made them all mad. If you've ever seen a movie about it, made all them old heads mad because he woke them up real early. They got them up real early in the morning, which was against their law. They said it was. But they done it to where that they could get him onto the cross. And you got the quotes where Brother Brown said he went to the cross at about 9 o'clock in the morning. It's when he was hung on the cross. All right. And when he did, see, that 9 o'clock would have been It would have been the morning of the 14th, which would have been Friday. Because Jesus was put on the cross, our Thursday evening would have been their Friday, beginning of their day. The ending of their day would have been 6 o'clock on our Saturday. Right? Over the time. See, then they had to get him off of there before that Sabbath day struck. Because this was a very high day. In other words, this one meant a whole lot more of it than ever. And I thank God it did mean more than ever. Because this was a very high day to me. Because during that day that he was in that tomb, he wasn't laying in that tomb. Jesus wasn't laying in that tomb. He went down to hell and paid the price. He was the real Passover. Really was coming out of Egypt, the world. He paid the price during that time that he was laying in that tomb. And then rose early Sunday morning. So then your days would be right. Everything would be right according to that. All right. Look what the prophet has to say. Let's see if I can pick these up. Yep. Israel. I got a few of these numbered so you can follow a little bit. But this is Israel in the homeland, paragraph 5. Now this Friday, coming Friday, will be a crucifixion message. This coming Friday night, the Lord willing, we'll take him to the cross, see him crucified, put him in the tomb, and keep him there over Saturday night. But Sunday morning on the Easter sunrise, we'll try to bring him out, show you how he proves what he was. I wish I would have been sitting there listening to this series. You know. All right, go on down to the next. Go tell my disciples, 53:405. And we want to start this morning on tomb. Then after his resurrection, Mary, Martha, and Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of Jesus. It was early one morning. They kept his body in the ground over the Sabbath, which was a customary that they didn't do anything on the Sabbath day. So he died Friday afternoon at 3 o'clock and rose up early Sunday morning. I want to settle this question while we're here this morning in the sunrise service. Many people says, how comes then that he said that he would lay? He was in the grave 3 days and nights. He never said he would do that. Now listen to it. He said, within these 3 days, I'll raise up my body. Now don't go looking for that as a scripture. That's Brother Branham telling you the scripture, what it says. So amen. We know that's right. Because the prophet said what it said. All right? But don't go looking for a literal where it says that. See, now the reason he did that is because David had said one place in the scripture, I'll not leave his soul in hell, neither will I suffer my Holy One to see corruption. Now, like I said, the brother was explaining, I said this morning about it, that it was the one that was the spiritual one didn't see corruption. Well, that soul couldn't see corruption. Because that was Almighty God. That's sensible. But the body was fixing to go into corruption if he hadn't come back to it. But remember how I showed it this morning? It was only like 48 hours or less. But any part of the day is counted a whole day. Right? He knew that corruption set in the human body after 72 hours, 3 days and nights. And sometime within that 3 days and nights, God was going to raise him up. So he died on Friday afternoon at 3 o'clock and rose up early Sunday morning. Now it doesn't matter what the scripture would say. Now listen to me. The scripture couldn't say something the prophet wouldn't tell you that's what it said. But when we look at the scripture sometimes, we don't get the right understanding. So the best thing to do until the understanding comes, go back to the prophet, see what he said, say it, and forget it. And somebody comes along and says, but this ain't right. Say, well, just go argue with somebody else. I ain't got no time to fool with you. Because I told you, they've argued this over all. Right. Look at the Speak to the Rock, 1953, 11:15. Look at the last paragraph. Next to the last. Everything in the Bible points to Christ. You can't pick a thing in the Bible but what goes to Christ. The first mother, the first lamb from the old mother you, and so then he's to be kept up 14 days. He was to be examined, wasn't a blemish on him, and he was to be killed in the evening. Did you notice it? Christ wasn't killed in the morning. They took him in the morning and hung him on the cross at 9 o'clock. But it was in the evening before he died. Is that right? And watch, this lamb must be killed by all of Israel, and the elders must come around and witness to the sacrificial lamb. So what did he say? Put on the cross at 9 o'clock. Now, I gave you the definition of what a word, the word day means, 2250 in the Greek lexicon. And it explains time, things. All right. And listen what the writer says. Of the civil day, or the space of 24 hours, thus including the night, Eastern usage of this term differs from our Western usage. Any part of a day is counted as a whole day. Hence the expression 3 days and three nights does not mean literally 3 whole days, but at least 1 whole day plus 2 parts of other day, plus part of 2 other days. Hence the Jews wanted Jesus buried before the Passover day started on Friday sundown. And see, that would have been Friday sundown, which would have been not sundown now. It's the Friday sundown. See, he's talking in English words. Right? They wanted him buried before the Passover day started at Friday sundown. Therefore, Christ was in the grave for part of Friday, all of Saturday, and part of the first day of the week. Thus, by Eastern customs, he was in the grave 3 days and three nights. This strange usage is still common in the East today, especially in the Muslim countries. See, that's got their time. And there's one odd thing that you would think about, that it's 3 o'clock here, a little after. I think it's 9 hours. But I know it's 12 hours to the Philippines. So 3 o'clock this afternoon would be 3 tomorrow morning. Right? So don't get confused of how that's all going. It would be 3 o'clock tomorrow morning in the Philippines. They wouldn't want you to call them right now. Brother Prakash is close to that. He says, call me 10 o'clock your time. Because if you call pretty early, he's still in the bed. But look, we know the message and know why I gave you just a couple of quotes where they'd be on the thing. Where that's the 3 days and three nights was not talking about 3 literal days and three nights. It's the sign of Jonah. The sign of Jonah is the resurrection sign. All right? The resurrection sign is the sign of Jonah. Not it's got to be 3 days and three nights. It wouldn't be that much. It would come out to the right time then. But Jesus Christ, what I was wanting you to see, he was killed in the evening time, or died in the evening time, but it was still on that day. It had not started another day because they had to get him off that cross. You remember they went in to break his legs and things because they had to get him off the cross by 6 o'clock or the sundown. Because if they didn't, they would have him on there on the Sabbath and they couldn't stand that. So then get your days, your times, and you're doing it in the right order, and then you'll understand why. That it shall be light in the evening time. Not in the morning, not in the middle of the day, and not in the middle of the night. It shall be light in the evening time. Because the evening and the morning is the first day. You understand what I'm trying to say? See, then it makes it all fit together. Jesus ate the Passover with his disciples, went right out from there, was taken from there in the night of the 14th, the beginning of the night of the 14th. He was taken to Caiaphas and them, placed and tried and all. That would have made it Friday, going into the end of Friday. He would have been put on the tree at 9 o'clock in the morning on Friday. And then he would have had to have been off of there 6 o'clock Friday evening. Because 6 o'clock Friday evening started the Sabbath. But he couldn't do it. Everything's perfect when you get it in the right order. And what my point is, look how it fell. Did it accidentally fall that the rotation of the calendars and the thing fell just exactly to where that would fall to make it fit our day? Do you understand what I just said? God made the Jewish calendar system fall. Not in the middle of the week for us, but to show that it would tie together and it would be light in the evening time and all the scriptures would be right. It fell on exactly the time to where the 14th would be on Fire Friday. I don't know what their name for Friday is, but it would be on our Friday. See, the fall to fit exactly for us. And he would be crucified, hang on that cross on Friday. Taken off of that cross Friday afternoon, which would be the starting of the Sabbath. He would be in the tomb all day of the Sabbath, going to hell and paying the price. Coming back up by paradise, picking up the Old Testament saints. He wasn't sitting around not doing nothing. But then he would appear to the disciples early. Early the what? Because see, he's putting a tomb right before the sun went down. Or just starting your Sabbath. He'd be through the Sabbath. All right? 6 o'clock on that Sabbath in the afternoon for us would be the starting of the first day of the week. Or our Sunday. Look how God made it fall. God put it where there wouldn't be any confusion. What if he'd have done it? That's what struck me. What if he'd have done it without putting it under the certain days and certain times? You think it's complicated to try to understand now. What would it have been had it fallen some other time? Because he'd already said there'll be light in the evening time. Now, there's one that I can't tie totally together, but it's got to fit in there somewhere. But Brother Branham said Jesus rode into Jerusalem Palm Sunday, April the 2nd, A.D. 30. Well, that's what he said. So under the calendars, that'd be hard for me to bring because there's 1 week from there that he was to raise. Brother David was trying to bring out something a while ago about it on the 10th and the 14th. Well, that's fine to have him up the 14th. But I'm just saying, I don't see it. But it's right. Because 1 week from the time he came riding in, he was crucified. And I wonder how much they was complaining about him riding on that donkey on Palm Sunday, which would have been what? It would have had to have been the Sunday before. If it was Palm Sunday, if now it's Palm Friday, be a different day. But, see, to get those days together, maybe somebody can help me with that. To where we can understand. But see, my point is, the whole thing, is it wasn't accidental that it fell on the rotation like it did. That's the only words I got for it. I just put the title, told Brother Joe to put it evening and morning. to where we'd have it. But it's really a rotation of the calendars and the systems and things. And when it fell perfect. To where you and I, that are not a commandment to keep a day, but it would fall to show His resurrection come on the first day of the week. And that resurrection falling on that first day of the week, when you drop back over and find out the other feast, you'd find out that it fell right in during the time of that Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now, as far as the Feast of Unleavened Bread, it would have fallen on, let's see, what would have been? Friday, Saturday, Sunday, which would have been the second day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Is that right? It would have fell 2 days over. So you can't keep that together. I'm trying to get you to see the spiritual from the natural. God put this to where everything would fall exactly for you and I. It's like to me when I first heard the prophet explaining how that I never did believe in them story tales about Santa Claus. You know. I mean, when I was a kid, I had more sense than that. I know he didn't come down the tree, the fireplace, because we had a fire there. And I didn't know where he had fire retarded suits or not. But I had a little sense. But you see, then to find out that God would make everything work till it would fit our first day of the week. The word that it would fit that our first day of the week is a number 8, because you only go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And then how that you would have that 7, 7 is 49 under back there in Leviticus. And how that they would be a 50 proclaimed. And how the day of Pentecost, when we get on over in it, that would fall on one certain day. That wasn't no accident. But it was God calculating and bringing those things to the basis that that child could be born at a certain time. And then be crucified at a certain time. And everything would fit perfect. We can't even keep our calendar straight. That's why it's so messed up. Because under our calendars, Jesus was actually born about 4 B.C. That's why Brother Branham on the messages will use 30 and 33. Because he's totally correct on both of them, except he's using two calendars. Maybe he didn't even know that, but he's using two calendars. But you see, church, early the first day of the week, he rose. But he was crucified in the evening time. Because in the evening time where it would be light is also the evening time when the rejection of the word comes to where he's crucified again. Right? Crucified again in this day and put to an open shame. Where in the evening time. This message never come in the dark. This message came in the evening time. Don't try to figure out what time of the day. The evening time. To where that it would fit. That it would be light in the evening time. To where it would be after 2 days. You say, well, where do you start that count? Well, start it back there in Hosea. Don't start it at the year 1. He said, I'll revive after 2 days. And that was like 680 up to 1964. Was 2700 something year. In the third day. I was sitting back there laughing a while ago. Come on, Brother Dick. I was sitting there laughing a while ago when Brother Dick said, Wade, you 50? And he said, no, 48. I get so tickled at it, and my wife does it all the time. I'll say, so-and-so there, they're 60 years old. They're not 60, they're 59. 1 year. You ever notice, kids? How old are you? 15 and a half. Right? Then when you pass over about 60, how old are you? 60 and a half. You go back childish. Because everybody wants a little bit of time. But just remember, if you're 59 in one day, you are not backing up. So you'll never be 59 again. You are going on 60. I'm not doing that to be funny. I hope it helps explain the rest of the message. Because if Jesus was one part of the day, would be counted a whole day. So then it's right of 3 days and three nights. I don't care if you could prove that he was only there 48 hours. It was still 3 days. With one whole day and two parts of the other, he is raised. Because if it's a part of a day, it's a whole day. In the evening time it shall be light. After 2,000 years I will restore. What? The years, the cankerworm, palm worm, locust. What's Hosea speaking? The same thing as the other scriptures, right? Joel. But in the evening time it shall be light. In the evening time, Jesus was on the cross. But not at night time. He was in the tomb at night time. Because Brother Brown said, that body laid there. Dead, he said. He said, then he had to come back and pick that body up. The body didn't go to hell. The body laid in the tomb. But when he come up, the body raised. Go ahead, brother. Let's stand. 287. Come while you wait. Listen to his voice. Leave with him your care and begin life anew. Kneel at the cross. Cry every care. Kneel at the cross. Jesus will meet you there. Kneel at the there is room for all. Just think about it. Hanging there on that cross. Run up what evening means in it. The definition of evening doesn't mean darkness. It's a period before darkness. It's called evening. We call it evening after it gets dark, but that's not according to them. See, church, to get our little petty ideas out. Well, I don't know what Brother Dale's talking about. I know what I'm talking about. Well, let's see it. Oh, people say, oh, the Bible says that every tub will sit on its own bottom. Now give me that scripture. Well, I know it's in there. I got $10,000 for you to produce it. It doesn't say that. But see, that's our ideas. That we've heard. Mama told me the Bible said. Mama had good intentions, maybe. But did she tell you what the Bible said? I remember when old brother so-and-so explained these things. I really enjoyed it. Like his brother had this drawing one time he showed me. He said, look at there. I looked down at it. Didn't take me about 2 seconds to scan across it. I said, it's wrong. He said, but it's a good drawing. I said, well, good drawing, okay, but it ain't no truth. In other words, he'd rather have the drawing that was wrong than to have the truth. And we'd rather have our ideas, which is leaven, than what the Bible says. That's where our trouble's at. People tell you, you can't tell me what's right. You can't tell them. You ever talk to anybody, women especially, say, you can't tell me it's wrong to cut my hair? You ever had them tell you that? Well, you can't tell them. Why? Because it's already sealed within them. Well, I don't think that means nothing. Well, let's go kiss the Pope's toe. What's the difference from one leaven or another leaven? That's why I'm so hard. I know it. But there's one thing about it. When you get there, you won't be able to say, Brother Dale misled me on these things. You'll say he tried his best to get us to look at it, to see Christ in everything. Feast days, holy days, times. But are we as sincere about the revelation of the days as those people are about the literal happenings of the day? Brother David and I talking about it. Won't it be something for those two witnesses to stand out there and say, look, here's this, here's this, here's this, here's this, here's where Jesus done every bit of it. Them Jews know what Jesus done. And that prophet just stand there and said, don't you remember Jesus said? Don't you remember Jesus done? No wonder they'll be born in a day. Because they'll accept the truth. Because they've been trained all the years what them things mean. To Jesus Christ, the hope of all. At least we could have a hope. A hope. None other so loving, so good and kind. He lives. Live, Christ Jesus lives to live. He walks with and talks with alone, life's narrow way. He lives, he lives, salvation to him comes. You ask. I know he lives. Just study as much as you can. The Lord willing, we'll be taking the feast of the first fruits this coming Wednesday. So, you know, just study that and look it up and, you know, write down your thoughts about it while you're doing it. Think about it. It's something that's relation to you. And then, see, it's not the first fruits of just the wheat. It's even the first fruits of the children. It's the first fruits of the corn, the beans, the potatoes. The first fruits. take on these things, Brother Tom?
I can say
Adventist.
I don't know what you call it.
Because they're still believing and saying the Old Testament says, or the Bible says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And see, really, the Seventh-day Adventists, if you know the truth of it, they're actually, as Brother Randall says about it, they're saying that to keep the Sabbath is the Holy Ghost. That is their Holy Ghost. It's just like speaking in tongues to a Pentecostal. That is his Holy Ghost. They don't believe that you get the Holy Ghost to speak in tongues. Most of them believe the Holy Ghost is the speaking in tongues. That's your birth and thing. So your Seventh-day Adventists believe that keeping the Sabbath, the seventh day, is their Holy Ghost. You watch Brother Branham. He says, where's there any scripture that shows you keeping a Sabbath is, or keeping any day is the Holy Ghost? So that's what they believe. But they're holding over the Old Testament, say, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And see, Jesus actually did remember the Sabbath day. He did break the Sabbath day when he was here. Because he was the Lord of the Sabbath. He kept the Sabbath when he was here. I mean, that was the thing of it. But then he raised the first day of the week. That's where your Seventh-day Adventists don't see, and the Jews don't either. They don't see that he raised. They don't really believe, even though they made the Seventh-day Adventists probably tell you Jesus was, you know, God or something, but they don't believe that he raised for their justification on the first day of the week. Now, let me ask you this, Anonia. How many of us, until this prophet came along, knew very much about the Sabbath? We wouldn't much better off than the Seventh-day Adventists. Right. Amen. We maybe just figured we worshipped on the first day of the week, but we didn't know why. But when the prophet come to explain it, thank God for a prophet to explain the word. Amen. Think on these things. Remember Wednesday. Father, we love you and we thank you. We ask you that you would just guide us, Lord, and be with us. Bless each and every one of us. And just, Lord, let your love be with us as we go on our way home. Take care of everybody. Give a safe journey. Thank you for your loving grace unto us. Let that light shine in each one of our hearts and lives. We love you and we thank you. Lord, how it would be a great time if we could just sit down and watch these people do these feast days even today and to see how sincere they are about it. But then it would condemn every one of us about our sincerity. Lord, we love you and we thank you. Bless on the way home. Be with each one, Lord. Have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.